Do We Are Donation podcast reports and opinions are not those of UGA. This is not an official podcast of University of Georgia. At least not yet. Working on that, getting there. This is the We Are Donation podcast. I'm your host, Nation, and that is short for Dog Nation. And our dogs take the field in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And unfortunately, come up short for the second year in a row to the Crimson Tide. And we lose 35-28. Of course, you know that by now. My God, what's going on? Is this city cursed for sports? I mean, come on, really? I got to think. I look back. I said, hold on a second. I remember a few years ago when Arthur Blank talking about he want to build his new stadium, this, that, and the other. And they were talking about tearing down those churches. I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. Don't think that's a good idea. Don't mess with those churches. They tore them down. I remember that lady come on TV saying, we got to lose our churches to a second-rate football team. And I remember going on 9-9 the game. I was like, you know what? I'm going to voice my opinion here. And I was like, look, I don't think we should have touched that stadium with those churches, because I think I said we might have messed up. I said, look, Atlanta Falcons might be irrelevant for a very long time. And Jamie Dukes was like, nah, I disagree with you. Uh-huh. Okay. A couple years later, you know, we're about 28-3. I'm all excited. You know, Falcons go. I mean, I'm not a Falcon fan. I'm an NFL fan. But, you know, Falcons are the home team. I'm like, hey, you know, we're going to have a parade downtown. This could be great. The Falcons going to win the Super Bowl. A championship coming to the state of Georgia. And we blew it. Then the very next year, here we go. Beating Bama. Dolph over the national championship. This is awesome. This is amazing. It's about to happen. We sacked Tua Tagovailoa. Then 2nd-26. Then yesterday, we're up at one point in time and like what, 28-14. And I'm like, oh, we're going to do it. We're going to pull it out. And then Tua get hurt. I said, oh, Jalen's coming in. We got this. We got it now. We got it now. And he led a comeback. Oh, my God. What? Who did it? Who made God mad? Who made Jesus mad? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Do I got to go grab Arthur Blank and be like, look here. We got to repent. Because something's going on. Something's going on in City Atlanta. Who did it? Did somebody make Chick-fil-A mad? Who did we put a stadium up over Indian burial ground? What's going on? Is this city cursed for sports? I'm messing around. We're not cursed for sports. I just want to kind of joke like that for a little bit. But It was a tough loss. It was a tough loss, but guess it just wasn't our time quite yet, but we are getting there. But it was very heartbreaking for those of you who are dog fans like myself, you know, waiting and the frustration getting close and close, but it just wasn't quite time yet. And then you got to hear all the trash talking from all those fans that, yeah, Georgia choked again. You're like, you know what? Shut up. You know, where are y'all at? Because really, Alabama and Georgia are the two best teams in all of college football. And the two best, the real national championship, forget what will happen on January 7th. The real national championship happened last night on December 1st in Atlanta, Georgia. That was a real national championship. Even Nick Saban said that we belong in the playoffs, but we're not going. Getting to the Sugar Bowl, we'll get there later. But then he also said the best compliment he can give us, he don't want to see us again. He don't want to play us again. That game was tough. So, I mean, for years to come, it's going to be us, Alabama, in the SEC championship game, facing each other anyway. So, I mean, come December, December 7th next year at 4 o'clock, 2019? Oh, yeah. It will be a rematch that first Saturday for the SEC championship yet again. But I got to thinking, like, you know what? This year, this was the year. If you wanted to beat Georgia, if you was South Carolina, if you was Florida, if you was Tennessee or whoever, Kentucky, this was the year to beat us. If you didn't do it this year, you're too late. 68% of our team are freshmen and sophomores. Of the 85 scholarship players on our team, not including walk-on, but 85 player scholarship players on our team, 63 of those are underclassmen. Between the true freshmen and redshirt freshmen, there are 47 of them. 27 sophomores between true sophomores and redshirt sophomores, 21 juniors and 18 seniors. This was the year. Even Peter Burns said, look, he looked at our roster and said, you know what, Georgia's going to be scary next year. This was the year we were supposed to fall off. This was the year we were supposed to go 9-3. We lost Sonny Michel. We lost Nick Chubb. We lost Isaiah Weems. We lost Javon Weems. We lost Roquan Smith, the Dick Buckus Award winner. We lost Devin Bellamy. We lost Lorenzo Carter. We lost Malcolm Parrish. We lost Dominic Sanders. This is rebuilding. Georgia was not supposed to compete for a national championship. Georgia was not supposed to get close to coming to a playoff berth, but we did. And we're coming back next year even stronger. If we was hard enough to deal with this year, next year, we're going to be darn near unstoppable. And so I got to thinking, like, okay, you know what? I got to give props where props is due. Because unless some type of blunder happens, it looks like Alabama going to have their sixth national championship under Nick Saban. If that happens, that'll be six national championships in 12 years. Right now, they have five national championships in 11 years. All right? So, I got to thank you. Like, this Alabama dynasty, this era right here, they got to be the most dominant dynasty in college football era history. I mean, I know about Bear Bryant, but Bear Bryant won six national championships in 18 years. So far, Saban might do it in 12. So that's even stronger than what Bear Bryant did it. Okay? So, I'm like, well, who else had multiple national championships in a lot of years? So I had to do a little research. Minnesota had 5 in 11 years. Princeton had 7 out of 11 years. And Yale had 8 out of 11 years. Now, I don't think any of those teams I just mentioned will ever win a national championship ever again, not in football anyway. Being the fact that Minnesota, when they had their dynasty going, it was from 1934 to 1941. And when Princeton had their dynasty going, it was 1869 through 1880. And when Yale had their dynasty going, it was from 1874 to 1884. I can't guarantee this, but something tells me Alabama, Georgia, UCF, whoever, could be all those teams back in the day right about now if they matched up. So, but they're on a roll. So you got to think about the bright side of this, even though it's a very, very painful loss. If it wasn't for their dynasty run right now, Georgia will be national champions. And it's coming. I know it's coming. I can feel it coming. I wish it came this year. I wish it came last year. But it's coming sooner rather than later. This is not the old Georgia of old. The old Georgia of old, we was kind of wishing and hoping on nothing. I mean, it was just kind of, maybe this a year. But based off of what? Nothing. We might get a big-time running back. And somehow, every time we got a big-time running back in the day, we try to relate them to Herschel Walker. Like, Herschel Walker's not coming back to the door again. But that's another story. But all of the very tough loss, I'm very excited about where we're at. You know, this is Kirby Smart's third year, okay? He's about to be 43 here on the 23rd of this month. Just about to turn 43. And you're talking about 20 more years, 25 more years of Kirby Smart. Man, these national championships are going to roll in. Despite what happened yesterday with that last-minute punt situation. And I'm so glad. I am so, so glad. I always wait until the next day to do the podcast, because I love this team so much. My emotions are so high. I don't do it after that game. I got to kind of settle down, get my emotions in check, rethink, and sober my mind up so I can, you know, just not go off emotion, go off facts. But I tell you, that fake punt yesterday, at that point in time, I was like, that was the dumbest call I've ever seen in a football field since that Super Bowl mishap with Seattle, where they decided to throw the ball on the goal line against the Patriots instead of giving the ball to Beast Mode. I said, this is really dumb. Why would you do that? And when I saw Justin Fields getting that game, I thought, oh my God, they're not fooling anybody. What are they doing? And Kirby defended it. He said, no, I'm going to be aggressive. I didn't come to tie. I came to win. And they said it was open, but, you know, it took a long time to get up to the line, and they covered it, and then, whatever, and they stopped it. But you know what? Looking back now, it was the right play, but the wrong person. You cannot put Justin Fields back there. Me, in hindsight, it's 2020. Me, personally, I would have put probably Brian Harrion back there, the third string running back. No one was suspecting him to take that snap and throw the ball for a first down. But, you know, one thing about Kirby I can say, well, he does learn from his mistakes. And I'm so proud, even though we came up short and, you know, Jalen came in and saved the day. But I am so very, very, very proud of the way they shut down Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, Alabama has beaten everybody by at least 21 points each game. And it was tough. Tough for them. And with this, we have the youngest team in the SEC. Can you just imagine for a second how tougher it is going to be next year? And if you want to talk about the 2020 season, when the third-ranked recruiting class of 2017 are seniors, that first number one recruiting class are juniors, potentially the number one recruiting class of 19, no more than three. We're going to finish in the top three recruiting, pretty much guaranteed, for the class of 19. They are sophomores, and whatever outstanding players we have for the class of 20 who will be freshmen, can you imagine that team? We're going to be good for a long, long time. Which kind of brings me up to my next point I want to talk about on this next break here. Because, you know, one thing I love about doing this podcast is that it's recorded. And so I can always go back and say, I said this when. And I already made a mistake earlier this year when I called for the benching of Jake Fromm. Said it's time to go ahead and bench him after the LSU loss. And I have retracted that statement. I was wrong about that statement. He is a first-round caliber draft pick. And I am a man enough to admit that I made the wrong statement about that. I'm going to be on the right side of history. Because I understand there's a lot of frustrated dog fans out there and saying things about Kirby and Jim Chaney and stuff like that. But when they start winning national championships, all that's going to go away. And I just want to be on the right side of history when the dynasty is coming through Athens, Georgia. Better believe that. Mark my words. Matter of fact, it's already marked. It's been recorded. But my question to you is, as a dog fan, what side of history will you be on when we start winning championships? This dog right here wants to be and will be on the right side of history. Coming up next, right side of history. And welcome back. The right side of history. What side will you be on when it comes down to it? And, you know, Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs win their second national championship in 3 years and this, that, and the other. They won the fourth one this decade, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Years from now, what side of history are you going to be on? This Bulldog right here, that you're hearing right now, I'm going to be on the right side of history. Because I believe in these dogs. I know what's about to happen. I can feel it. Frustrated a little bit because it hasn't happened yet. But I can feel it. And I want to touch on something that I think all of Dog Nation, one point in time, has heard about, talked about, wondered about, discussed at the game, the sports bar, at work, at the water cooler. Will Justin Fields transfer? He should transfer. He should leave. This, that, and the other. Okay. And finally, for the very first time, Justin Fields got the chance to speak to the media, and it was great. Because everybody wanted to know. They asked a tough question. They wanted to know. All the speculation, they wanted to know. And the very first clip I heard that Justin was talking about, they asked him, it's kind of cut it short. They said, hey, ask him, are you going to transfer? Are you going to be here? And he said, right now, I'm focused on this team, and this season is not over yet. And I was like, man, that don't sound good. They don't sound good. I still believe he's going to stay. There's no reason for him to leave. Jake Fromm last year, next year. You can't play into 2020 anyway. I'm like, man, I don't know about this. And then I heard the whole interview. And when they asked him the very first time about transferring, he said, I love this team. Will he come back next year and compete? He said, absolutely, I love this team. I look forward to come back competing for a starting job next year. I'm like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. And then they talked about, you know, the whole situation, the Justin and Jake and putting against each other. And he was like very honest. I don't like that. Like Jake is my friend. He don't like people putting against each other. We're a team. You know, he said Jake has been nothing good to him, nice to him. Whatever question he had, Jake answered it. Jake never tried to be mean and say, well, I'm not going to show you. He asked him about film. He asked him about defense. Jake is an outstanding guy. Justin's an outstanding guy. And there is no more, as far as I'm concerned, there is no Jake and Justin Fields drama. We got two great quarterbacks. And that's just a great thing to have. And then he said, you know, on top of Jake being really nice to him, he said, look, Jake very, very smart. We all know that. And so it's just going to take, you know, some people say, well, Justin ain't good enough. He ain't got it. You don't know that. Because God forbid, and I'm so glad that Jake was healthy the whole entire year. But what if he got hurt? You don't know whether or not, had he got hurt, what the progress of Justin Fields would have been from game 1 to game 12. You don't know. So to say, well, he ain't no good, he can't get it, you don't know what his progression would have been. Well, I do know he's a Bulldog. I'm going to support him. All right, so that whole drama, that's done. I'm so glad he came out, get a chance to come out and say that. And like I said, I'm gonna be on the right side of history. And for those people I saw on social media who's talking about, you know, he can leave, he can go, we don't need him, he want to transfer, get out of here. Are you crazy? I mean, Kirby Smart, I'm pretty sure if he heard you say that, or heard somebody that you know say that, he would probably cuss them out. If you haven't seen the video last week of Kirby cussing out the team, the man can cuss. Okay, he would probably say some words to you like, are you crazy? Because I just got a feeling, if Justin Fields was to be like, hey, Coach Smart, I appreciate it, but I want to leave, Kirby is going to do everything in his ability to convince Justin don't leave. Which I don't think he's trying to leave anyway. But had that happened, he's going to convince him, no go. Trust the process. And that's one thing he did. And that's one thing that Justin Fields did say. You know, he said at first, he's kind of frustrated. I understand. He's a competitor. You're talking about somebody who was ESPN's number one rated player overall. You have been the man all this time. And now you got to either back up. That can be kind of frustrating when you're a competitor. So he got kind of frustrated. He's human. Who wouldn't be? And then he said, well, he started buying into the team and it's all about the team. And he's glad he came to Georgia. He's a better player because he came to Georgia. He's a better quarterback because he came to Georgia. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Music to my ears. So we can squash all this, that mess about Jake and Justin. Then, I saw somebody saying, you know, as far as like letting him transfer, imagine if Roquan Smith, because Roquan Smith was not the Roquan Smith of last year, his first year. He developed into the Dick Butkus Award winner. DeAndre Baker, who that shutdown corner we have, who's a first round top five, top 10 and latest draft pick, who shuts down 25% of the field. He wasn't that shutdown corner as a freshman. He evolved into that. You don't throw a five-star to the side and say, forget you, let you go. Are you crazy? The talent is still there. One thing that Kirby said when he first took over in December 3 years ago, you got to develop the players. And they're going to develop him. He's trusting the process. He's glad he's here. I'm glad he's here. Now, I got to go ahead before I forget about it. Although we lost, unfortunately, I got to go ahead and give out my game ball. And he would have had the MVP of the game, but it goes out to Jake Fromm. Comes out against this Bama defense, have 301 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Had a fantastic day. Very proud of him. He gets the game ball from the We Are Dawg Nation podcast. And this has been a fun season, guys. A fun season. Coming, talking to y'all, getting y'all feedback all season long, doing each game. And I can't believe that's the last. Well, we got one more game. And we got to go and face the Texas Longhorns, which I feel no sympathy for because we're going to destroy them come January 1st, 8:45. Cannot wait to see the Dawgs finish out strong in the Sugar Bowl. Of course, you know by now, we're not in the playoffs, so next year, it's going to be something nasty next year. You didn't get it this year. I said it earlier. It's too late. But it's been fun. And so I will be coming back, after the Sugar Bowl doing a podcast. But also, it is early signing day on December 19th. And I will be doing a podcast about who signed early. And even as the season's over with, I'll still be talking about recruiting because, even the season over with, the world of college football recruiting never stops. So I'll keep doing these podcasts, maybe not on a weekly basis, but definitely bi-weekly, or however I feel the mood to talk about something. I just want to thank all you guys who have rode with me for the whole entire season. Keep riding with me. I'm now at an average of 50 listeners per week or per episode, and I want to increase that and grow that. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you have stuck with me and listened to me this whole entire time. I do not take it for granted. If you are a first-time listener, go back with some of the past episodes. Thank you for coming to listen to this one. Keep coming back. I plan on growing this thing and getting better and better at it. And continue talking about my Dawgs for years and years and years to come. So I appreciate listening. Please come back, listen again, over and over again, all the good stuff. So thank you for the people at Anchor for giving me the opportunity to grow this podcast. I really appreciate it. Now, although we lost, it's all right. I still want you to have a great Bulldog week. Heads up, because the future is bright. And the dynasty is coming. What side of history will you be on? Will you be on the side of history that believe? Or be on the side of history that doubt it? This is Nation with the We Are Dawg Nation podcast. Love you guys. Have a great week.